call it a challenge, an observation, or a dare that was what Gish Jen was thinking as she set out to write her 10th book. Did she want to wake up one day and realize that she had never written about the one relationship that stood at the center of her life, no matter how painful that might be? In short, the new book, Bad, Bad Girl, is the story of a mother told through the eyes of her daughter. Opening in 1920s Shanghai, we first meet Agnes as a young girl who's expected to behave and be quiet. And from there, our narrator takes us through the full arc of her life from birth to death. Throughout, Agnes interrupts the narrative from beyond the grave to argue, amend, correct, and scold her daughter's telling. Gish Jen is the author of 5 novels, 2 books of stories, and 2 books of nonfiction. Her honors include fellowships from the Guggenheim Foundation, the Radcliffe Institute for Advanced Study, and the Fulbright Foundation. Again, the new novel is Bad, Bad Girl, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Gish Jen back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always a delight to have you on the program.
It's fun for me, too.
Thank you so much. What was it that the timing came into this of saying, all right, now this is my moment to write this story?
Yeah, you know, it's not as though I was waiting to write it. You know, it's not as though I was thinking, oh, the minute my mother dies, then I'm going to write about her. It's not that way at all. What happened is that she died during COVID. And like all children, I was overwhelmed with grief.
Yep.
And because I am in the habit of sitting at my computer every day, I would sit at my computer, but I really couldn't work. And I found myself writing to my mother. After a time, I found my mother writing back. And that was the beginning of this project, you know. And the more I engaged in this dialogue, the more I realized that I really wanted to understand my mother. You know, I had grown up asking that question, why? And as an adult, I was still asking that question, why? Why was she the way that she was? So I started at the beginning of her life, and I started to write really what was a memoir, really for myself and for my family, for my children especially, who had not had a very happy relationship with her. And, you know, and as I started to write it, I wrote it really, you know, as nonfiction in the beginning. Now, what happened is that, you know, I wrote the very first section, which is centered on something that she had told me when she had finally agreed to an interview when she was 92. And she had told me this story about how when she was 7, her nanny was sent away without any warning whatsoever, just abruptly fired. This is clearly the biggest trauma of my mother's life. Even at 92, my mother, who very rarely cried, cried to remember how her nursemaid had been sent away this way. And I told that story to my children. You know, they were like, oh, well, that's too bad, you know. And I just thought, well, you know, let me try this as fiction. And I wrote it again, and I actually, you know, we know nothing about the nursemaid, actually, right? But I made the nursemaid into a character. I drew in a young girl who was my mother as best I understood her. I drew in my grandmother, who I had never met. And again, this is all just, you know, I'm just drawing in a fictional character, but based on what my mother had told me. And this time, you know, when we got to the part where the nursemaid is fired, my kids went, oh my God, that's terrible. It gutted them. And it made me understand that the way into my mother's life was through fiction, but I had to use some fiction.
Did that give you a certain amount of freedom once you made that decision?
Absolutely. You know, and I will say that, you know, it made for just a much more effective narrative, you know, not just in terms of my mother's life, but in terms of my own, you know, the many, many people who have stepped forward to help me. You know, everyone asks me, well, how could you have a mother who was so against you and somehow turn out, you know, as functional as you have? And, you know, one of the answers is that so many people stepped forward. If I look at my life, there are dozens of them. if I were writing a memoir where everything had to be factually accurate, then I would have to say, well, in second grade there was this figure, and then in third grade there was this one, and then when I was in sixth grade there was this one, and when I was in 12th grade there was this one, right? And it'd be very boring. And instead, I could take all of those figures and all the gratitude that I felt to all of them and put them into Mrs. Cunningham, you know, and put them into Marnie Mulligan. And that's what you can do with fiction. You know, I think when people say you've just combined them, I think that's a little bit too simple. I think that you really do, like I say, it's born really more out of the feeling that you have about those figures when you think about them. That you could take that feeling and you can use that to invent a new character. You know, it's not like you're drawing from life and, you know, they have the nose of this one or the ears of that one. It's not that way. But somehow this new character that you've invented does embody something that they left with you.
You mentioned the interview that finally occurred when she was 92. Do you have a sense as to why she was so reticent to talk about her own history?
Yeah, you know, it was complicated, but certainly one factor is the fact that women of her generation, especially, and from her part of the world, did not talk about themselves. You know, they did not have the autobiographical impulse. Here in America, you know, we think that that is universal, you know, because this is a very individualistic society. But in fact, we're in kind of a bubble here, and we don't really understand often that that not only is this unusual, you know, if you look at the course of history, it's historically unusual. Something was only arisen very recently, but also certainly geographically, if you look worldwide, this self that we have in America is not the self that most people have. I wrote a book about this, as you probably remember, The Girl with the Baggage Claim, explaining East-West culture gap. But in fact, we are a tiny minority, and having this idea that we must talk about ourselves and that our life story is of extreme importance. Certainly, my mother was not of that disposition at all.
I remember the first time I read your work was Typical American. And was that the first novel?
Yes.
And I was reminded of that as I was reading this book. Is that a natural? I mean, obviously it's written by the same person, so there's that. But but is that a natural bridge?
Well, you know what's so interesting about a typical American, you know, and I've noted this several times in my career, is that, you know, there's something about being an ethnic writer where it is assumed that you are writing from life, you know, that you are making, you know, that everything you write is immigrant autobiography, and that it's what you're producing is not artifice but artifact, right? And I think what's clear today, you know, and all along I sort of said, well, actually, that's not my family, you know, when I've said that all the way along, and I think that that was probably that answer was greeted with some skepticism, but now that I actually have written about my actual family, or sort of, I will say there's a, you know, a sort of, you have to put in the sort of because this is a novel.
Right.
I think it's clear that Typical American really was not my family. That was not, Ralph Jang was not my father, and Helen Jang was not my mother. And by the way, I never had an Aunt Teresa either. So that was, you know, so I think that today maybe its fictionality is clearer than it was back in 1991.
In writing this novel, what were the challenges for you? Because did there have to be a period of just the grieving and the horribleness of losing a parent, or was it something that you gravitated to right away?
Oh, of course, it took time, you know. And, you know, some of the sections were very hard to write. You know, I think that if people are very like, well, what's, you know, what's actually from life, what's not from life, you know, anything that you read where it's really extremely tough, and the answer is, you know, unfortunately, that's from life. You know, I think a lot of the elements which are more buoyant and like the Gishtin that you might know, a lot of those are invented, right? Everything has a basis in reality, right? Or in what happened. But I guess how really definitive the basis is really kind of depends on, on different parts of the book, right? Things like my mother's teaching log, where, which surfaced after she died, that actually is from life, and that is her teaching log verbatim, a lot of the things from her account books are verbatim. The feeding log from when I was a baby is that's all from life, and those things obviously were easier, to get down on the page, as I found them, and as you can almost see me kind of working through them. That was easier, obviously, to deal with than some of the other things, which which I recalled as I was working through them, and which were certainly harder to both to recollect and to write about.
Was there a point where you figured out the voice that of your mother's voice? Did that come readily, or did you have to even fictionally figure out what that voice was going to sound like?
Well, it's figuring out what it was going to sound like, especially the times when she says things like, "I think I should write a book," that was very easy because that's my mother, But I do use, and this is, the fictionalizing part of this book. A lot of those dialogues, I used to interrogate her about historical events of the day. I'm just making that up, and I'm making up. I never had any such conversation with her, although I can imagine her reaction, So I guess that's to say that, I'm hearing a voice, but it's not like I'm remembering something that she said. It's more like I know what she would say. I wouldn't, I know how she, in her heart of hearts, I know how she felt about the dropping of the atomic bomb on the Japanese. And unfortunately, you can see the divide. I grew up in America. To me, the dropping of that bomb in Hiroshima was an atrocity. To somebody who grew up under the Japanese occupation and who hated the Japanese with every, ounce of her being, she felt the Japanese deserved it, and she was glad. And that's the generational difference, right? I can't see it that way, but I do know that she would see it that way.
You used the word interrogation. Did you was when you talked to your mother about her life, I assume you didn't want to go into that feeling as though it would be an interrogation.
Oh, of course not. No, I mean, I'm not. When I was asking her about like the historical events of the day, actually, the reason I'm bringing up the historical events is because I'm actually, this is the novelist at work, right? I'm actually trying to feed information to the reader. I mean,
Right.
that's what it's really about, right?
Yeah.
I'm interested in whether my mother actually knew or didn't know. How much did she know about what was going on? But it's also true that in a general kind of way, I have a huge task as a novelist, which is to convey an amazing amount of history, right? So, I mean, I do go through pretty much all of 20th century Chinese history in this book. And that is, that's a big task. And so I do use the, these conversations with my mother, as well as the letters and other things to convey all of that.
Were there times that you needed to take a break or to investigate things further or to go to other family members, or was it a similar process as with most of your novels?
Of course, I talked to other family members and so on. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I traipsed around Shanghai to sort of understand where my mother's house was, just how far away the Japanese bombing would have been, what she would have been able to see from her balcony, that kinds of thing. So, I probably, well, I've done research for other books too. I mean, World in Town, I did a lot of research with the Cambodian immigrants, and I did a lot of interviews. I visited Cambodia. I mean, it's not as though I haven't done research before. But in any case, and now that I'm thinking about it, the resistors, I did a lot of research about baseball.
Yes.
It's not like I haven't done, it's not like it's wildly different. But, I obviously talked to different people for this book than I talked to for the resistors. For the resistors, I talked to everybody who had ever thrown a ball, pretty much. And so this is very different.
in writing as you completed it, was it, and you said this, that it, there were parts of it that were very, very difficult to write. Does that help in the grieving at some point?
Yeah, in the end, I think to really feel all of my grief, if you will, I had to understand my mother's story better, and a lot of things didn't come out until after her death, like, the letters, her relationship with her own mother, that did not surface until after her death. And I knew my mother much better as the end of this book than I did in real life. And I was able to grieve for her then. I mean, not just because, not just for myself, but grieve for her. Actually, I'm just always struck by that, with funerals of people are like, well, I'll miss her so much. I'm like, well, what about her? She's dead.
Yeah. Me, me,
She's,
me. Right. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. It's bad for you, but it's worse for her, And I just felt I had such a strong sense of, what history had done to her and to her life, and how these huge forces had shaped her possibilities and cut a lot of those off. And I grieved not only for her, not only for myself and, the fact that she wasn't here, but I grieved for her that her life was just not what it could have been. She had so much more in her than she was able to make manifest, right? And I felt very lucky to be, to have been born and to have grown up in America. I think there's a little email at the end, where somebody says to me, someday you will understand what your mother did to bring you here and what that means. And, I think by the end of this book, I understood, yes, exactly that kind of, I mean, this is a little circular because I made up that email, right? But what I'm trying to say is by the end of the book, I did understand my own huge fortune in growing up here and how my mother had made that possible and all the sacrifices that she had made, that I today am a novelist having a great time with a house in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I'm living a, I'm living a very rich, full life, and the generation after me is doing even better. And but she was the transition generation, and that was pretty hard. And today I had a very difficult relationship with her, but honestly, today I just take my hat off to her. I do. And I think that what she did, and what many members of that immigrant generation have done through the ages, it's just staggering what they've done. And we all owe a lot to them.
I assume in knowing her even better after the completion of the novel, does that bring even more questions that you would have loved to have asked her?
Of course, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I could bring my mother back from the grave. Not just to ask her things, but also to give her the hug that she really deserved in life, A hug was that was not just like, oh, you're my mommy, I give you a hug, but like, I see you. I see you. I see the woman that you were. I see what happened to you. I understand you. As much as anybody is going to understand her. I think my mother was a very lonely woman, and I think that she had so many secrets, so many things that she never told anybody. I don't think my father knew. I don't think none of us knew, like, about her relationship with her mother. And I just think, what would that be like to grow up, with so many things having happened to you, not just historical things, but personal things, and to have had nobody know, just, not your husband, not anyone. And I'm just so sorry anyway. And finally, in the end, ironically, I'm the daughter who knows, and as the person who knows, I would love to see her again and to be able to say to her, I know you,
It goes back to something you said at the very beginning of our conversation, though, where you said the origin of the novel was having her talk to you and starting to have those conversations and it being very personal and maybe not even for something that you would publish to a larger audience. But by doing that and by having the novelistic approach develop that does allow you, in a way, to give that hug.
Yeah, I get well. But she's not, she's not alive
No, I
to us.
understand. I understand.
But I hope that, but certainly it affects the way that she'll be remembered by my
Yes.
children, for example. And I'm happy about that. Instead of they're only remembering the bad things, I hope that they will have a greatly enlarged perspective on her. And I will say too, I hesitated about, should I publish this? I mean, I don't know, And but now I'm really glad I have. I mean, my book's only been out for 2 weeks. It's been unbelievable how many people not only bought it, but who read it immediately and then wrote to me. I mean, I just am getting an incredible amount of mail and an incredible response. And it's clear to me that the nature of this story, including the hope that it embodies, people want to know whether you can transcend a background like this,
Right.
and I'm very happy to be able to say, at least in my case, yes, and also for a lot of people, both people from all kinds of backgrounds who had problematic mothers, and Lisa C, who did my event in Los Angeles, very wisely said, the world is divided into two camps, the camp where they had a great mother and the camp where they didn't, The camp where they didn't is actually rather large. You don't have to be Chinese American to be in that camp. And all those people have come forward to me. But also people from this, from similar backgrounds. Somebody came to me and he wasn't, obviously he's not a daughter, and he didn't have problems with his mother, but he just sort of said to me, he said, I thought we were the only dysfunctional family. His family's kind of in this sort of circle like with mine. He said, I thought we were the only dysfunctional ones. And for a lot of them, this is not a, if you were Jewish American, a lot has been written about the Jewish family. There's not much more to say in a way. In this case, there hasn't been a lot written, and they're a little stunned and helped, I think, by seeing a representation of something that they haven't seen on the page before. So I'm happy to have done it.
And like most of your work, and while it may not be obvious in the conversation we're having, but the book has just these wonderful moments of great comedy and humor.
Well, I'm very, very lucky in that I inherited my father's sense of humor. I do think it's genetic. I think it's going to be a long time before geneticists start to look for the gene for humor. I mean, I think they'll be, much more concerned with, muscular sclerosis, and so on for a long time. But eventually, I think that they will look for humor. And I honestly, when I look at myself and I look at my son and I look at my father, to me, it is clearly genetic. And in that way, I was just supremely lucky. I mean, to have a sense of humor is just one of those things. It keeps you afloat through difficult times, for sure. And it's, of course, a lot of fun already. I will say that, for what it's worth, I have a granddaughter and she's 19 months and she already knows the word funny. And
That's great. That's a good.
I'm just so happy. She goes, funny. This raucous laugh. And I just think, this will be a good thing for you in your life.
That's a good early word.
Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely.
The novel is Bad, Bad Girl. It is published by Knopf. Gish Jen, it's always a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much. Congratulations on the beautiful novel.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Be well. Again, the name of the book is Bad, Bad Girl, published by Knopf, by Gish Jen. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.